Hi, shiny happy people. Welcome to a new episode of our Trend Spotting series. This is your guest host once again, Sanjay Dugar. And today's topic, leadership coaching, now and the future. And I have my colleague who is a PCC in the coaching world, Mrunal Lamge, coming on shortly to talk about what coaching means today and more right after this break. So let's get to our trend spotting conversation. Welcome to our podcast, Mrunal.
Thanks so much, Sanjay. What a pleasure to be with you.
Absolutely delighted, and thanks for making the time. This particular topic has been of very high interest amongst our listeners, and they've been talking about this, and they're really curious to know what's happening here. So let's actually start, right? So let's take it to a time before the pandemic. Mrunal, I'm sure you agree, right? Coaching had become a buzzword. What do you think is happening now?
Yes, Sanjay, I totally agree that coaching was becoming a buzzword. And before the pandemic, largely the coaching was for the CXO level or the very senior leadership level, and it involved a lot of high investment from the organization. And also it involved some of the high potentials, so offering coaches to them so that they are better able to perform as well as move on to the higher career transitions. During the pandemic, there is a research that kind of shows that there were certain kinds of trends that started coming up. And one of the reasons was the organization were able to see that how powerful coaching is as a developmental tool that unleashes the potential in people. And some of the organizations, they have started about that, why only look at the top leaderships, but why not the entire organization? So there have been those shifts that's happening where coaching started becoming made more available for the middle management levels, as well as some organizations thinking who are a little bit more future organizations, that why not bring in a coaching culture within the organization? So that was already in the phase. And in pandemic, there were certain topics that were noticed by one of the research article I read. And if we divide the pandemic, for example, starting from the beginning of March 2020, in three phases till May 2021, some of the themes of the coaching conversation as identified in that particular article were in the initial part where the pandemic was announced and there was like entire world really started facing the impact of the pandemic. The coaching started focusing and revolving around the themes of confidence and even the job securities. Mm-hmm. Also related to that were some of the redundancy support that started coming in, some of the ways of how do we manage the performance now of the people. That was the early kind of a pandemic trend. And also this was the emergence of, for especially for coaching, was moving from a face-to-face coaching largely that used to happen to the virtual platform. And here is where the Zoom, as we all know, really came to our benefit. We happened to get to introduced to Zoom as a platform, and they were one of the most popular tools across the world being used by coaches, which one of the research said that 67% of coaches preferred Zoom versus the other virtual platform. So other virtual platform was also like the MS Teams, which was like in a single digit popularity. Now in the pandemic, in the middle part, there were lots of people, just like we spoke about, they were working from home. And there was this complete change of working within the organizations about making it work and how do you monitor, how do you take care of the security part and so many other important aspects. In that part where really that kind of a boundary line between what is work and what is life completely kind of a disappeared. And that is where the coaching topics really started about the phrases like there was a lot of burnout happening for people. There was a lot of stress being kind of experienced by the people and a lot of exhaustion. So the coaching was more about that. And as this started happening, The impact of that was organization thinking about how do we take care of that. So whether they were thinking on how can we offer more of the wellness thing for these people, or a little bit of on those lines started coming up. The later stage towards the end of the pandemic, what we were able to see the topics that started coming up was how do we really create a new kind of a corporate culture where this kind of a working, this kind of a taking care of the client requirements and kind of performing where the leader and the teams are no more sitting in the same spaces. All these started bringing out the topics like organization culture, employee motivation, and where the transition, where as we are talking about the work and life balance were completely gone out of the window, work-life balance became starting coming into the picture. So that was just the impact of it. And the recent International Coaching Federation, the ICF COVID-19 snapshot report, found that 74% of the coaches increased their audio-video coaching during the pandemic. And after this end phase of the pandemic, what is coming up as seen in the trend of coaching is that virtual coaching is gradually now decreasing. The face-to-face coaching is going up.
So it's pretty much like a circle back, right? Beautiful. And I think very rightly broken up into the need, right? Three clear phases that the pandemic brought for us. And we are glad that we are getting back to the depths of coaching as before. And it was amazing to see how you also talked about organizations starting to shift to look at coaching as a culture in an organization. I think there are some really good insights there. So if I go a step deeper, right, although you did connect it with the different needs, what exactly can one expect as benefits that they can achieve through coaching?
So there are kind of various benefits of coaching. Like broadly speaking, we can say it is one of the most empowering tools for individuals and leaders. It increases the employee engagement. It is highly being used to improve the individual performance of the leaders and managers. It actually impacts quite deeper level of learning for all the stakeholders. There is a high employee commitment that comes in, largely that is seen when coaching is in kind of employed. And last but not the least, it's about the purpose and clarity that starts emerging for these leaders, managers, and that brings in a completely new way of looking at their life, a new life perspective for them. And when I say new life perspective, it does indeed involve not only the different kind of a view or a perspective about their own work or the role or what they are doing well, but also a new view about what they can probably pick up that can really help them in their kind of a normal life as well.
Amazing. In fact, Executive Coaching Connections as a blog, right? They wrote about executive coaching is more closely aligned with specific leadership competency needs. And I think the pandemic brought in resilience and agility, trust and safety. DEI is another word coming up, empathy and compassion, communications and virtual presence, just as you called out. And of course, the evergreen innovation and change, right? So it was quite nice to see how everything is now coming back in focus based on need, because I think all coaches, I'm sure, they love to look at addressing a need, right? So that's amazing. So that brings me to this point. Are there different types of coaches, Mrunal? What do you think?
Oh, definitely. And sometimes in today's world, it can actually be a point of a little bit of confusion as well, though many people would be very happy to see that there are different types of coaches to choose a specific one. So it goes both ways. So there was one kind of a research article on coaching-online.org that I read, where people who are interested to know about the different types of coaching, they will find a ready 31 types of coaches list for the year 2022 that is being listed there. And if I were to just broadly talk about different categories there, it would be like one can think about an individual coach versus a team or a group coach. For example, I am a BCC credential coach, but I have also done my certification in team coaching. And I do coaching with a group of not more than 7 people at a time. And if they're from the same kind of a division or a vertical, it becomes a team coaching. If these same number of people are from different verticals from the same organization, that becomes a group coaching. So broadly, this would be the two. And initially, there was like people looked at coaches who were offering coaching for individuals, not specific to their kind of a work-related topic. So they were called as life coaches. And the coaches who were offering their coaching services for professionals, they were more like, you can say, as leadership coaches, or you can also say that they are business coaches. And different types of coaching, when we are talking about, broad categories could be like the self-development areas are many of the types of coaches try to define themselves. And equally, they try to define into other specific areas like emotional area or a leadership area and things like those. So if I just have to mention, one might think about, okay, so I call myself, I'm a leadership coach as well as a team coach. So I'm also an executive coach, but I do not call myself as an executive coach. So executive coaches are the one who really would be coaching all the CXO levels, but leadership coach would be all the senior levels. And in my experience, there have been cases where even the CXO level coaching come my way. So I do that. So whether we do that, different types of coaching in organizational level would be things like those. If you go into very specific kind of a self-development area, it could be like very specifically like a confidence coach or a performance coach, or in kind of a career coaching, it would be either a career coach or somebody transitioning from the current career to another. There would be career transition coaches. And you mentioned it as you picked up some of the words from the ICF competencies that coaches, because they also need to be more relevant, or they need to also position themselves, because the number of coaches have drastically increased, Sanjay. You know, as it was very less known, so almost 10 years back when I did my coaching in 2013, there were very few coaching kind of a schools offering certification program. But now if I only look at Bombay, Mumbai, where I stay, I think there would be so many kind of a coaching schools offering the coaching certification programs. And there is so much of a liking towards it, and so much of so many people wanting to become coaches, either aspirationally or maybe for the passion, or purely from looking at like that could really give them a source of income. It could be either of that. It is so many options. The number of coaches have increased so much that people try to have a different avatar. So they pick up certain trends that are ongoing or very, very latest in the current organizational kind of a domain, and they pick up. So you mentioned it. So there are DNA coaches, which are coming up in big numbers. There are wellness coaches, because we spoke about the impact of the pandemic. This is a need that many organizations felt, that we can offer them wellness coaches for people who got impacted very badly. And because of the pandemic, though there were earlier as well, there are work-life coaches who are also defining themselves that I am a wellness coach. And let's not forget, one of the biggest kind of, you can say, a paradigm shift that pandemic brought, though it was virtual working is one, but digitization. I think that's a huge, huge space where it got that kind of a paradigm shift. So there are digital coaches as well in today's world.
Quite a bit, right? And it's evolving, absolutely evolving. One of our listeners actually wrote to us that while you're talking about this topic, also talk about or give me some tips about how one could position oneself as a coach. So what do you think about that, Mrunal? Any tips you have?
I think that's a very good question. How does one position oneself as a coach? Because the number of coaches are so many now, as we were already speaking about. And then how do you get that client to recall you if they are thinking of hiring a coach, so that you become one of the possibilities that they hire you? I think if one has to get into the coaching, one is that you have to ideally have gone through an ICF kind of a recognized coach training program, because that those programs are the most one of the widely kind of a criteria used by the client, that are you a credentialed coach? So if you have to position yourself, if you're a non-credentialed coach versus a credentialed coach, probably you will have no chance unless You are somebody who's comes from very old times. You have been coaching for almost 15 years, 20 years, early times where there was not ICF credential been looked at. Those coaches can still continue to prosper because they bring that expertise and they have honed their skills to a very different level. But otherwise, for the newcomers in the coaching field, I would highly recommend that you do get a ICF certification program and get ICF credential. So that would be one important thing. And while you are entering into coaching, I think it's very important to ask that what's the purpose that I am getting into coaching? So for example, the purpose could be someone wanting to be a coach full-time versus somebody might have a purpose that they just want to have a kind of a self-development, kind of an input for themselves. So an example is I was speaking to two examples that I've got that you need to consider. One could be like one of my friend who's a very talkative friend, and he was speaking with me, though he's in the space of training and development. He said, Mrunal, I'm thinking about doing maybe a coaching certification. So I said, oh, that's a wonderful thing because I love coaching and hearing that is a great thing for me. Tell me why you want to do this. So he said, well, I think it might be a good source of income for me because coaching demand is increasing. I said, yes, that's also a good reason. But can I share an observation? I asked him. And he said, yes. So I said, I really find you a very talkative person and you are great in the field that you are in training and development and in the work that you do. But do you know, if you are doing a coaching call for a 60 minutes or a 90 minutes call, a coach speaks just 20-30% of the time and the rest of the time is just listening. It's just active listening, being with the coachee and really getting to kind of a connect, maybe with the beingness, the presence, all that. Would it be comfortable for you to do that when you start offering your coaching services for years to come, not just once? And I think for him, that question was, he said, I think I'm not going to be a coach. I didn't understand. I think I love talking and I can't do that. I can't hold not to speak and not to give maybe advice or solutions. I said, yeah, that is something a coach is not supposed to do, give advice and solutions. So he dropped his kind of a decision to become a coach. Versus, you know, second example, what I was sharing, Sanjay, was one of my consulting friend. He was having a very similar conversation with me. And when I asked him, okay, so what's the purpose? He was very clear on the purpose. He said, I want to kind of learn coaching so that not only in my consulting business, I can position that I'm also a coach, but I'm not looking at full time, but I am going to look at that. I would use this competencies and skills of a coach to have more engaging conversations with the coachee or with my client, not the coachee, but more with the client. I said, that's a wonderful thing. So I think you can start positioning yourself depending on also that what is that kind of a area that calls you, you know, whether it calls you to be a kind of a life coaching space or a kind of a business coaching space or a leadership coaching space. So you might have to look at your own kind of a strengths as well as own expertise area where you feel that I could probably have a wonderful contribution around it by, you know, making the person think deeper, reflect deeper, allowing the person to have their own perspectives by, you know, kind of a sharing your sense after you listen to those coaches about what challenges they are facing, what situations they are facing, what is a chain they are trying to kind of a maneuver. So you might like to think on all of those kind of a stuff. The thing is, if you have to really see about how do you position yourself, I think there are some aspects also that you can think of is you need to also have the ability that what would you like to say no to when you are, you know, standing as a coach, because all kinds of requests might be coming your way when you have a little bit established yourself. And before you get established, so for example, you've got your first credential from as an ACC, as an associate certified coach from ICF. Now, that is a time that you would like to explore all kinds of areas and learn from all kinds of kind of a people. And you might like really take up coaching wherever it comes from. And once you get into a PCC credential coach, which is a professional certified coach, and where you have had kind of a garnered more than 500 years of work experience coaching, one-on-one coaching, or including the group coaching part as well, then it becomes very important that you are able to create a kind of your niche, the what we exactly spoke earlier about. So you need to get into what would be your niche. And I leave it to, you know, people whether you want to really define very kind of a sharp niche or whether you want to put it a niche which is not too sharp. And I think every coach takes that call, Sanjay, actually. So as I said, I position myself as a leadership coach because I want to work more with the corporate world. So that's as simple as that. And people who are into, you know, diversity and inclusion, having a lot of experience, they might really like people to think around that and might position there. And another thing is, if you really are considering, what is important is, how do you network as a coach and where do you network as a coach? So networking with, let's say, coaching communities becomes very important. And ICF is one of the very wonderful kind of a coaching communities, I would say, where you can volunteer, network with each other, as well as have opportunities for taking up any leadership roles within that. And also, you need to get network in the communities where you would find more of the clients that you're looking for. So if it's a corporate client I'm looking for, I would look at where are the HR or OD or L&D conferences happening, or I'm meeting those kind of a people. Or if they are my coaches, then it could be some of the leadership summits I go and probably exchange my card, get to know them better, etc. And influencers, I think this HR, L&D people who are the decision makers could become the influencers. So I need to be in those circles as well. So I think that's where I would like to suggest a few of my perspectives, Sanjay.
Wow, that's like almost like a Bible for how coaches can get into business. Thanks for sharing all of that. In fact, you rightly pointed out, right, that you need to network. And in fact, our other set of listeners who are from the corporate world, they have this question about how should corporates actually select coaches? In other words, what are the tips that you can give? How corporate, meaning HR and L&D folks, how can they actually select coaches?
Oh, that's also a very interesting question, Sanjay. So I would like to admit that though maybe I have not come from that side, but I have spoken to enough of kind of a corporate people or the corporate leaders who get into some of the decision making. And so thanks to maybe ICF, some of the people that we heard, I was a part of the ICF Mumbai founding managing committee member, the very first one. And we invited speakers to exactly have this question answered. And that was probably 5-6 years back, Sanjay. So I'm sharing some of the views from my own experience and from what I have heard. So one criteria for the corporates when they're looking at, they could probably look at what's the credential level of the coach and who are the target audience for the organization for which they are looking at coaching. So if it's a very junior level coaching, they might do with maybe an ACC level coach as well, who would get engaged and would create and make a difference and maybe at a lesser cost for the organization. And if organizations are looking at coaching their senior leadership level or maybe their middle management level, then the recommendation would be maybe to hire a PCC credential coach or maybe an MCC credential coach. And obviously the investment would be a little bit higher. One of the reasons is like when we are looking at credentialing, the kind of the maturity or the kind of the competence level of the coach, for example, an ACC level coach might be using strongly the questioning skill out of the other competencies of the ICF largely, and trying to just follow the process or following the coaching framework so that he's able to deliver the outcome that the coach he wants to deliver. But if you look at a PCC credential coach or maybe MCC credential coaches, they would go definitely much beyond just questioning. Maybe the questioning will so much be a part of it, they are not at all focusing on questioning because that is so naturally happening. But they are more intent on probably getting to understand and focus on the empathic listening and not maybe the active listening that the coach is sharing, or connecting with the beingness of the coachee. Trying to really see what is the trend that is coming up. Trying to notice some of the very small nuances in the way the coach speaks, or where does he pause, or what is the body language? Where has he moved in a conversation? Why did he take a little bit of a more gap in responding to a particular question. Now, the point I'm making, Sanjay, here is that the PCC and the MCC level coaches are trained and experienced to probably notice more of the finer and subtle nuances, where this can create either an aha moment for the coachee or it can create an insight for a coachee. Because these coaches, as you go to that level of credential, they are able to identify certain patterns or certain habits of the coachee, which they have not seen for their entire life. And not that they didn't have people to tell them or show them. They have people all around their entire life, whether it's their family or their team or their organizational peers. But none of them were able to spot and share certain thing with them, which becomes an aha moment for them. And once they have that, now that is where they are able to powerfully feel very empowered and are able to do something that they have never done before. And other aspects for corporates, one would be like, you can look at the chemistry meetings that the coach and the coachee, they have. And if the coachee feels comfortable with that particular coach, then that would be a good criteria that it seems to be a good fit to go ahead. Another thing could be like, organization can think about, which I know from my experience, whether to hire a coach from the same industry that they are in, or maybe from a different industry. The way I see it, Sanjay, is coaches are not anyway supposed to offer solutions and ideas. So coaches who are actually from the same industry are have a tendency, probably you can say, or there is a probability that they can bring in their own bias, having been in the same industry and feeling quite familiar with the situation that the coach is about to speak, or maybe kind of a read something much more than probably the coach is talking about and have their own belief that this is what it is for that coachee. So that might have a little bit of biasness in terms of how they are going to coach versus a person not from the same industry can do a wonderful job. But I know there are some organizations who insist that they want coach having, you know, particular industry only, etc. Now, to be honest, Sanjay, it doesn't go very well with the ICF kind of ethics. But some clients have spoken to me also that we don't mind if you're coaching our coachee and you bring in a little bit aspect of your mentoring as well. So the thing is that I do keep in mind, though I say we will see, but I never try to give more of advice solution in the coaching session. What I do is actually I end the coaching session. I make a note of what could be some possible ideas or solution that the coach wants to pick up, not something that I am directing it. But I do it after the coaching call, saying that, would you be interested in knowing some of my views or some suggestions? And then I just have a chat with him and then offer something that if he wants to willingly take it, he takes it. Otherwise, that's fine. So that could be one way to look at that, whether the corporates want people from the same industry or another.
In fact, that was exactly what I also read in Executive Coaching Connections blog, where on trend number 3, they called out saying executive coaching combined with executive mentoring is a powerful hybrid coaching model, growing both in need and demand, in particular at the C-suite level. But yes, very cognitive about the fact that they could be biased. But then I suppose a good level of PCC and MCC level training and the experience they bring, I think they can also learn how to hold back on their biases. So hopefully they can do either a pure coaching or, depending on the need, adapt to coaching and mentoring, like you said.
You're listening to the Shiny Happy People podcast. Subscribe to us on your favorite platforms. This podcast is sponsored by C2COD, your organizational development consulting partner, bringing people and strategy together. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook using the handle at C2COD and get updates on our upcoming episodes.
But it's very interesting to see that the trend. And I think you highlighted the advantages and the disadvantages of how, let's say, the HR or L&D can look for coaches. You also brought out a very interesting point about the chemistry between the coach and the coachee. So normally we have seen that the HR and L&D usually tend to pick up one coach and position them with respect to the coachee. But from your perspective, it sounds like they should give two or three options and then the coachee should be allowed to choose. Am I right in that thinking, Mrinal?
Yes, Sanjay. I think what sometimes happens is if the cohort of the coaches is a little large in number and maybe not just one or so, then it's absolutely would be a good idea for the organization to offer at least two options of coaches for the coaches to pick up and then, you know, have that assigned. Otherwise, in a chemistry meeting, even if they just pick up one coach, but in the chemistry meeting, if the coachee says that, well, I'm not comfortable with that one coach that been offered, the organizations are quite willing. I've seen that they would probably look at another coach and they do have maybe probably even worked with few coaches there. Sanjay, as you were sharing, you know, a few other things that would help a corporate to choose a coach would also be, you know, what is the kind of a credibility the coach has in the market, what they hear about that particular coach from maybe fellow coaches or from people from some of the where they have a good standing either in the coaching industry or even from some of the clients. So that's one. Second, I think the testimonials, though I think in the coaching industry, because it's all confidential in nature, not all clients are willing to share their testimonial. But there are some clients who share their testimonial without naming a specific coach's name, right? So they do share that how they experience this coach. So I think that becomes one of the very good criteria as well. If the organization is looking at hiring a coach, so they can use that. Another thing is, especially if they're looking at kind of a coaching the senior leaders or maybe the CXO level, they might like to, in the current times, like to look at, would they like to employ a leadership coach versus somebody who uses transformational coaching in that leadership style that he probably brings in. And what I mean by the transformational coaching is usually the leaders who are at the top level, I think they are not really looking at adding more knowledge to their kit because they already have reached to the level that could be the optimum level. But if they are able to get something kind of an aha, and the transformation usually happens not in the domain of knowing, but in the domain where it is completely unknown, which we sometimes call as a blind spot. And some of the transformational coaches uses certain ways of being, their own being, and the certain way of connecting with the other being, where the person is able to have very different view or a perspective about the same thing that they are doing or same thing they are handling or the kind of a chain that they are dealing with. But a different view is something that really inspires and empowers them to have a complete new possibility accessible to them, which was not there earlier. So if we are looking at not the performance coaches, but if they are able to hire transformational coaches, I think they would be making a lot of bigger difference in the lives of the coaches. And probably the contribution of that would be much more, or the return on investment would be much more for an organization. I think that's what I would like to share that.
Fantastic. And I think one more point that I thought I could bring to the table is that both coaches and the team that is selecting coaches, I think they should be part of the coaching fraternity or coaching associations, maybe in their city or wherever, because that's a place where they can stay updated, see what's happening, and be connected there. So I think that's another very, very important thing that most of these people should follow. That's my, and I would say a rather strong opinion about that. They should be part of such a community. And as long as, you know, in this forum where I attended a meeting, it was about roughly 10 days back, there was one line we were talking about. So what's the future of coaching? And I heard them all go, as long as there's a need for change, as long as there's some transformational requirement, there will be a need for great, great coaches. So that's something that I thought I would like to add. Any last final words of advice, Mrinal?
So I think what does maybe a future of coaching would be looking like? I think that's what our coaches can probably focus on. Another advice I would have is that never forget to sharpen your saw. I think that is absolutely a must. So let not, you know, whatever the credential you are, or whatever the credential coach you are, let not that credential go into your head where you feel you have arrived. I think if we have that kind of a learning mindset as a coach, I think that sharpening of saw is very important. So for example, for me, I just love learning. So I feel like learning is a value in me, and it's a part of my life. So I recently also went through, in the pandemic times, I completed my team coaching certification. So which is something like, it's a kind of a complementing my leadership coach profile. And not only that, as I just mentioned to you about the transformational coaching, I also went through a transformational kind of a coaching program, so that I'm able to really add to my kitty a different perspectives, sharpening my own saw and bringing that in my kind of a coaching practice, where it enriches the value that I add to the coaches and to the organization. Because what we need to remember is, coaching is a powerful tool to unlock the potential. But important point is, it's not only the potential of the coaching. Also remember, you too have a potential as a coach. So I would say that would be the last point for us to reflect, that let's not forget our own potential as a coach and keep focusing on building on that potential. Thank you so
Wonderful, Mrinal. Thanks so much for your time. I'm sure that this is like great tips for not only for coaches, but also for corporates, especially the HR and L&D, who actually employ coaches for their organization's benefit. So thank you once again. And for all of you who are listening in, please do share your thoughts, share your comments, post your questions. We'll be more than happy to look at how we can address them, and also make recommendations on other topics that you would like on Trend Spotting. And with that, this is your guest host, Sanjay Dugar, and our guest, Mrinal Lamge, signing out. Thank you so much.